The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by...
Yes! This is it! Yes!
What is this, Tanisha? Yes!
We're not
the WWE Spring? You gotta be kidding me! Where's the Memphis Cops?
This is revolutionary!
Somebody arrest these guys!
This has never happened!
Somebody arrest...
There, now we're gonna get it settled.
What can they do?
Security! Throw all these people out. That's it.
Guys, here they come. Here they come. All two of them.
They're not. This is disrespectful. This is disrespectful.
Well, why do you go do something, John? You go remove all these people.
Well, your job is clear that ring.
Nope.
All of you are being manipulated by Daniel Bryan, but you're too blind to see it. You're wrapped up in this power trip. Listen, power can go to your heads, okay? But it's false power, it's false pride, and Daniel Bryan is the wrong horse to back.
Huh?
You really think Daniel Bryan is worth it?
Yep.
I've had enough of this. Don't you disrespect my family's name. My great-grandfather, my grandfather. When I was born, this place became mine. It is all mine.
Who the hell do you think you are?
And I do own you!
Stephanie, guess what? You don't own any of this. We own this ring!
I do own you! Get out! I said get out! Get out! Get out!
You should be ashamed of yourself. We don't want to talk to any of y'all right now, so take your little gossip column and your embarrassing photographs and just go away!
To Stephanie, I say pot, meat kettle. Oh, the ironing. But we're going to start our own movement here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and it seems I have some familiar faces around the table tonight, starting all the way on the other side of the planet with Bad News Beeman.
Oh, yes. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. I'll start off with the bad news first. The bad news is we had to listen to another Stephanie McMahon screeching promo. The good news is she wasn't on SmackDown and she had to take a lot of lozenges just to get her voice from not sounding like a man. Thank you!
Next, we have the man who takes the bite out of the Big Apple, Jason Block.
You know, I think I may have actually cleared my head and actually, because I've been going back with you all week on this. I want to see how this plays out. We'll get to that in a minute.
And finally, I have to introduce officially, because he's making me do this, the current and sole NAWC Fizzleweight Champion, Gene Motherfucking Aguilera.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the sound of that. I really do. Called it!
And they wonder why I haven't had him on the show for the last couple of weeks. Because I knew I'd...
I thought it was because he couldn't afford me.
You're lucky you're booked.
Well, that's the case. I'm just going to walk out with this belt like a certain somebody.
Let's see how far that gets you. Show it to Johnny Rods. I dare you. You know what he'll do with it?
He'll break it over. What the fuck is this, pa?
God, yes. God. Nice guy, but oh boy, what a weekend. You know, I mean, wow. We actually had a pay-per-view this weekend.
Yeah, but I think something let's actually start with Saturday because I'm guessing that show was a little better attended.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. I went to the WWE house show, which, of course, MSG always does it right. They really, really, really do. And by the way, just if you didn't know it on Monday night, Daniel Bryan is over. The two big people who had shirts out were Daniel Bryan and John Cena. That's pretty much it. I mean, they were selling Warrior and other merchandise and stuff, but Bryan is the merch guy. He is. Oh, and of course, a ton of sheet masks. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me see if I can remember the card very quickly. We had a tag team title defense where the Usos beat the Rhodes Brothers and who was the heel team?
Real Americans.
Real Americans, I think.
Or Ribaxel.
Ribaxel, that's right. It was Ribaxel. That's correct. Okay.
Okay.
Because in the second match, Miz, ironically enough, for Justin Gabriel, welcome, you know, the werewolf, the South African werewolf. And then Ryback came in and said, you know what, I'm going to come in and basically DQ himself. And Miz and Justin Gabriel beat him. And Justin Gabriel did the 450. Miz did the skull-crushing finale. And, you know, did very good.
For the record, I just like to state this for the record. Ryback's is the worst team name I have heard since Show Miz.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you there. Then you had Kofi Kingston defeating Damian Sandow, I think. Yeah, it was Damian Sandow, yes. Then, I just need to go back to remember it, but Kane fought Daniel Bryan with Triple H in his corner. Triple H came out and cut a wicked promo on basically saying that MSG had all its leaders, you know, people who came here like Hogan, Austin, Rock, myself, he said.
Of course.
Daniel Bryan will never headline Madison Square Garden, nor will he headline WrestleMania because he's a B-plus player. And Daniel Bryan beat Kane at a very good match. Then basically he challenged Triple H to come in and fight him now after a little hemming and hawing. He didn't do that, but Daniel Bryan gave the flying go to both Triple H and to Kane, which was I believe, the pre-halftime match, which was pretty kind of cool. Just want to make sure that I actually have this right, but because I just want to make sure that I have the right result here. Because here we go. Yes. Oh, then AJ Lee pinned Cameron which was a dance off. Turned into title match, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then the second half was the Vicky Guerrero came out and said, we have a surprise for you. And it was the MSG and WWE debut of The Ascension. NXT Sweet. Tag Team. Okay. They beat the Matadors with El Torito. Okay. Ziggler beat Del Rio with the Zigzag in an awesome, awesome, awesome match. They are having some really good matches lately, as experienced by the stuff you saw on SmackDown tonight.
Thank you. I was going to ask you about that. Go ahead.
Yeah. And Ziggler won again tonight and entered himself into something we'll talk about in a minute. And in the main event, Cena and Batista defeated Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. Now, how can Cena and Batista team? Well, after Cena became the face in peril in the main event, Cena was about to tag Batista, and Batista just dropped off the apron and basically said, I'm done, pretty much. Then he powerbombed Cena, but Cena came out. Believe it or not, Bray Wyatt hit Sister Abigail on Randy Orton, and then Cena hit the AA on Orton to send everybody home happy. And by the way, Cena worked, as we all also saw on Monday. And the guy who got the biggest face pop after after Cena, of course, was Bray Wyatt. Wyatt, of course, also did the Madison Square Garden War here, chant. But it was a good crowd. I was seventh row ringside, and a lot of kids, of course. But the crowd was good, and it was a good time. So, yeah, that was fun. Good stuff. And, oh, and by the way, they're coming back on July the 12th, just to let you know.
There you go.
So it was a good show.
There you go. Now, Gene, Daniel Bryan's a little over. I hear he's got like four. He's actually got four shirts now.
Yeah. It almost reminds me of that other indie internet darling that the WWE pushed and who had a hot streak for the for like 2 years.
And
what was his name again?
I don't remember. Philip?
Brown. Damn.
Was it CP Monk?
Corpse.
I just can't remember right now, man.
Well, put it to you this way. I mean, the guy who you're talking about is pretty much persona non grata right now with the company. He's done.
You know, I could make a really tasteless joke right now, mentioning another wrestler who was persona non grata with the WWE, but, you know, no need to go into that territory.
No, not now. No.
No. But, we'll get into the Monday stuff. We'll get into Raw. But first, let's get our obligatory TNA stuff out of the way. Because, yes, they had their lockdown pay-per-view. And I understand that they had a very good lethal lockdown match where Dixie Carter finally got her comeuppance and MVP is now more or less in charge. Which, of course, makes a lot of people, kayfabe-wise, happy.
Yes.
However, Shane, TNA can still be TNA. Stay classy. Go ahead.
I don't know. I will admit lockdown was shocking. The crowd attendance, ladies and gentlemen, was a little bit under par. I'll put it nicely that way.
are you talking specifically about the dumbass Samuel Shaw angle, where he threatened suicide if Christy Hemme wouldn't come out?
No,
that one.
No, I was talking about Abyss, who hasn't been relevant into the main event picture in like 10 years. God.
Wait. I must have missed something. Did you say they ran an angle where somebody threatened suicide if Christy Hemme didn't come out?
Yes. Samuel Shaw, who fought Ken Anderson in the second match of the show, said, and I will get this in here, he said, he took a mic and scaled to the top of the steel cage and sat atop it. He called for Emmy to come out and said, someone's not keeping it professional. If Christy Hemme doesn't come out here, I'm going to professionally end it all. And he began standing on the cage if he was going to jump.
Ooh. See, that right there is exactly what I was talking about with Sam Shaw. Like, I know people say they love his gimmick, but for me, it's too creepy. Like,
and now with him
promoting suicide, it's like, oh hell no!
Sorry. Die, TNA, just die.
Nikki, going back to what you said before about Abyss. Oh God. Okay. Yes, this was LOL TNA at its classic moments. We had a great World Heavyweight Championship match. It was Magnus versus Joe in Joe Rules, in a steel cage, and it was going brilliantly. Joe looked like he was going to win, and then all of a sudden, Undertaker-esque-like hand comes out of the bloody mat and pulls Joe into the ring. I just shook my head at this. I said, that's bloody Abyss. Any money, that's Abyss. And sure enough, out comes Abyss with Janus after Joe escapes and hits him with Janus and Black Hole Slam and ugh. So, good match was stuffed by a shitty by a shitty ending.
Gene, you are now welcome to unleash your angry wrath regarding this. I heard something along the lines of Samuel Shaw.
I just, you know, I keep thinking that TNA, there is no bar too low for TNA to limbo under. But this, wow, you know what? I don't care if it makes me sound like a number three. I don't care if it makes me sound like a bitter piece of shit. Die, TNA. Just fucking die. Die, and don't even die in a blaze of glory. Die in a pathetic fucking whisper so that no one ever hears of you fucking again. Fuck you.
Needless to say, ladies and gentlemen, Gene motherfucking Aguilera is not a fan of TNA. But after hearing that, they lost my benefit of the doubt. There are just some things you don't touch in a wrestling storyline. There are some places you just don't go, and that's one of them.
But they did try and make up for it, unfortunately, on Impact. And they've decided to tone down Samuel Shaw a little bit and turn him more Perry Saturn-esque, and had him bring out a mannequin of Christy Hemme.
There's no saving this.
And talk to it and everything else. So I thought to myself, okay, they've turned it down and they're trying to make up for his very, 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 very tasteless comments at lockdown. But yeah, I will say this in TNA's defense, and I can't believe I'm actually saying it. But other than the whole Samuel Shaw thing, for Impact Wrestling this week, I'll actually say the show was good.
It was very good, because what happened was, Dixie locked in the main event. Dixie locked Jeff Hardy out of the building, leading him to debut as Willow. Okay, which is his, which they finally acknowledged after 1 week as the alter ego of Jeff Hardy. Okay.
Oh, they didn't even wait that long, Jason. They freaking look, this is what pissed me off about that. They acknowledged it, like, even though everyone already knew it was Jeff Hardy, they still acknowledged it, like, within 5 minutes, going, those tattoos look very familiar. And then, of course, Taz pipes up and says, yes, they're very charismatic, don't you think? It's like, facepalm.
No, right. No. You know what? No. Jeff Hardy bringing back his fucking backyard gimmick does not change the fact that TNA decided to make a show where one of the wrestlers threatened suicide if a fucking interviewer that he was apparently obsessed with didn't come out.
Oh, I'm not saying it does.
There is no saving this fucking company.
Down.
There is no saving it.
Down.
Gene, I'm not defending what Samuel Shaw did and what the writers had Samuel Shaw do if they had him do that. What I'm saying is I'm not going to crucify other great talent for one moron's fuck up.
Okay. But, you know, and of course now MVP is in charge. He's granted Joe his rematch, and they're taping some more shows today and tomorrow as we tape this, okay? So we'll see how far ahead they go, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But let's move on to hashtag Occupy Raw.
WWE hijacked the hijack. and said, you know what? That's a great story idea.
Thanks, fans. Thanks, Chicago. Chicago March 3rd Raw.
Yes. Hey, Chicago, that was a great idea. You know what? We're going to use that. Just not in front of you, because we know what you would do.
Oh, God. This just leads into it. Ladies and gentlemen, I have some good news and I have some bad news.
Uh-oh.
The good news is that WWE made a lot of money. The bad news is they gave a big fuck you to Chicago and CM Punk and pretty much told them to kiss their ass. Thank you and good night.
Which is true.
Which is true, but see, but Punk is still going to get the last fuck you because his face is on a bunch of the WrestleMania shirts, and it's too late to get those reprinted.
Yeah, definitely. I saw the three shirts, and I will say this: they're all brilliant. I just had to face palm at the fact that CM Punk was on them. I'm like, oh no.
And it's just amusing. WrestleChat.net has the pictures, and if you their pictures were courtesy of Ringside Collectibles, and Punk is prominently featured on at least two of these shirts. The third one, this one with Orton in the center, I think they could have probably salvaged, but then again, there's Orton's on it. Oh. Hi.
Yeah, exactly. And it's you know, but that's one of those things that you just can't change at the last minute, you know?
No. But they've been able to go with the flow on a lot of other things. And the fact that Punk is out of the picture has put Daniel Bryan in a prime position.
Prime? I mean, put it to you this way. This ain't prime. This is grade A sirloin steak. This is grade A porterhouse. This is dry aged, okay? He is in the fucking catbird seat. And that's all thanks to Mr. Brook, okay?
Yeah.
Because if Mr. Brooks didn't walk out and take his ball and go home, Daniel Bryan would be fighting Sheamus. And Randy Orton would be fighting Batista, and no one would be watching WrestleMania 30.
No, they would just be turning it off or going home early. That's definitely a beat traffic match right now.
Well, actually, with that, it actually did make me ask an intriguing question. With the Triple H and CM Punk storyline, had it have gone ahead? Did CM Punk actually give up a spot in the WWE title picture? Because how do we not know that if CM Punk versus Triple H happened, that he wouldn't have got the same stipulation as Daniel Bryan did?
I'm going to say that Punk walked figuring that Batista would have been welcomed like a hero and Orton would have remained heel. The problem is the enormous backlash, pun fully intended, of Batista's return has essentially opened that opportunity. And if Punk had stuck around, he might have been in that spot. And yeah, Daniel Bryan would have been fighting Sheamus. And I don't know if Punk would have been able to fight backstage to get his spot and Bryan's reversed, especially after all the grandstanding he's been doing to try to get a main event at WrestleMania. Now what, you know, because he would have been compromised. So go ahead.
I'm going to agree with you. I'd definitely say that would have been in a tough spot. However, with the negative aspect of the reaction that Batista got, I'm pretty sure even WWE are not stupid enough to realize that that would have caused very major dramas for their main event and even their pay-per-view buys. So they would have thought to themselves, well, maybe we should stick Punk or Bryan in, or even both, in this match just to spice things up. Because if not, then we're not going to get much buys for this pay-per-view.
And those who were watching it on the network would say, well, we're only out $10, so they'd turn it off at the main event, if not sooner. But I gotta give the Fed credit, Gene. As an independent worker, you know that having any fan on the other side of the guardrail, invited or not, is a wild card. Could turn into an issue.
That's not even debatable. Of course it will.
So WWE did something exceptionally ballsy Monday night and rounded up a couple of hundred dedicated fans, or at least most of them were fans. Gave them all yes shirts and gave them some pointers and let them stand in and around a WWE ring.
And next to the top guy, okay? If one of those guys was an absolute whack job, this could have ended very badly. Very badly.
The only one I'm mad at is the idiot with the cell phone who kept taking selfies and texting when he should have been chanting, yes. I saw you, boy. You're never getting picked for that again. Then again, I don't think WWEs are going to need to do that again. And congratulations, sign guy. You got your moment in the ring, damn it.
Ockberger, you bastard.
After all this time.
He deserves it. He freaking deserves it. If they ever do a fan wing of the Hall of Fame, he's the first one in. He's my first ballot guy, next to Vladimir.
What about Hat Guy?
He's an ECW fan, so we'd have to go through that group at some point, too. So, yeah,
Hang on. We're all forgetting the most important one, okay? The most important one. This person is a Slammy Award winner, okay? We're forgetting Ms. Girl, okay? Unbelievable. I mean.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yes. For all the help that gave Miz, and actually, I'm gonna have a better joke about that later in the show. This miniature revolt hashtag Occupy Raw. Was finally the straw that broke the evil boss, Dr. Levesque's back. And brought out Stephanie McMahon's inner bitch in full force.
It was beautiful. I mean, it was insane how she went. They went from calm to get the fuck out of Dodge in like seconds. Seriously.
This was just so wonderful. When Stephanie started to lose her mind, even Hunter jumped a little bit, Shane.
Yeah, well, then again, we know that the evil Doc has no balls.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Well, as a Chicagoan who used to work there said something about Stephanie carrying his balls in her purse.
Yeah, dude.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if and I'm going to go that extra step further. I wouldn't be surprised if Stephanie actually surgically attached said balls because of the way she was screaming. She sounded like she got a bit of Hunter's manly voice there.
Seth Chicago had also mentioned that Hunter may or may not be wearing Stephanie's panties. How's that for a mental image?
Ew.
Somebody find me that still from the pose down, Hunter's pose down with Steiner in 03. Anyway,
oh, the one where he's wearing the thong, that one.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, blood. Ew.
What?
Yeah, brain. Ew.
What?
Oh, you're not going to throw brain bleach on that one? Okay, fine.
No, because. I enjoy that view. You get your own brain bleach. Anyway, we are getting off topic.
Yes.
So, you know, Daniel Bryan pretty much rubbing it in the face of the authority to the point that Stephanie's losing her shit and Hunter finally loses his shit, which he's not as good as Sean when he does, but when Hunter gets mad, it's almost comical.
It was very comical because, you know, deep down in his brain, it's like, I've got to make this work. I've got to make this work. I've got to make this work.
And half of the time he's standing there listening to the crowd going absolutely batshit for Daniel Bryan, going, don't smile. We've got him. Don't smile. We have got these kids all in the palm of our hands and we're playing them like a cheap guitar.
You know what, though? If he really wanted to be a heel, he should have dug deep down and found his inner evolution. Because nowhere was he a bigger asshole than during his evolution days.
Admit it.
Not even when he ran Austin over. Which I'm sure you enjoyed.
I wasn't watching at the time. But, yes. This was the final piece that put Daniel Bryan where we needed him in a match with Hunter to get this authority storyline stuff all rolled up and taken care of. And if Bryan beats Hunter, he will be placed in the match with two other heels. And everybody remembers that there's a triple threat rule that usually favors the minority in the case of there's only one face and two heels.
Yes! 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 Yes!
They gonna party in New Orleans.
Okay, though, but I've got to ask the question. And I've asked this question all week.
All right.
Will they actually pull the trigger at WrestleMania?
If Orton or Batista walks out of that building with the belt, there's not going to be much left of the place.
And not in a good way.
No, not in a good way. So,
even still, you have to admit, this is probably the biggest rub anyone's ever gotten in the E.
And that's why it has to end with Bryan with the belt.
Because think about it. If he wins, he will have beaten both Triple H and then Orton and Batista in the same night. There is no bigger rub you could possibly be given unless you are allowed to break the streak. And no, Brock Lesnar doesn't get to do it.
No, he doesn't.
You know, Gene, you're absolutely 100% right. No, put it to you this way. All right, I'll ask this question. Is that, if that happens the way you say it, I'm asking everybody here, is that even bigger than the 434-day streak?
Actually, where I'm going to put it is at the same level as Jericho becoming the undisputed champion, beating Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock in the same night. No, it wasn't Mania, but it was a big deal.
I'm going to actually go that step further, that this moment will go down forever in history, bigger than Hulk Hogan picking up Andre the Giant and body slamming him at WrestleMania 3.
You know what I see this as, really?
Okay.
I see this, and as dark as this might sound, this is how I honestly see it. This is the new WrestleMania 20 ending.
Yes, I understand. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. And as we are, this show is being recorded on the 10th anniversary of that night.
And that's why I am making this prediction right now. I don't care if it happens or not, but if it does, you will all officially bow to me as the prophet of the WWE.
Dude, this one's a little easier to predict. And well, Stat Boy's been talking. What's that?
I have some good news and bad news on that one.
Uh-oh.
Good news, Gene. If you win, then it's gonna be. Then you're gonna be a winner. Bad news is I am bound to shit.
What do you guys think of this, though? Daniel Bryan beats Triple H, and then in a hard-fought match, finally beats down Orton and Batista and becomes the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And he's celebrating, and there's fireworks, and there's fucking... what do you call
confetti.
Them? Confetti! There it is.
Confetti and streamers and balloons!
Lots of balloons! And then, when he turns back, there stands CM Punk.
Oh, God.
It will never happen. Okay, I'm not going to say it won't happen, but it could.
You know what? Making a ruling. If CM Punk shows up to congratulate Daniel Bryan at the end of WrestleMania 30, Gene, I will give you an auto win.
Auto win for the belt?
For the Fizzleweight belt for the WrestleMania card. Even if you fuck up every other match on the card.
Wow.
If that happens, because I don't believe it will. But I want it to happen so freaking bad, I am willing to cater to this idea.
And if not, after the win, probably during Brian's warm-up, it'll be like, does anybody remember that moment in WrestleMania 20, right before the Triple Threat match, where Benoit is getting ready, and then Eddie comes in, and he starts negging Benoit, and then Benoit gets to find him, and then Eddie's like, yes! That's what I need to see!
No, that's not what I want. If Punk is going to show up, I don't want to even sniff him until the middle of the celebration where his music hits.
But wouldn't that overshadow Brian's victory?
Would it?
Because I mean,
Punk would be the, okay, no music then, but he shows up.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere in the snow of confetti and streamers and balloons and everybody hugging and strangers hugging each other, this tattooed man appears in the ring.
Exactly, just like Eddie did.
And those two embrace and celebrate together.
Camera shot goes off. The whole nine yards.
And finally, we have the new feel-good moment where nobody is going to... Well, do what Benoit did in June of 2007.
We hope.
No, Punk just seems too disgruntled. he just seems grumpy, honestly, not sadistic.
Well, as it was said, you could have lined up 1,000 men against the wall, and Benoit was the last person a lot of people would have picked. But that's neither here nor there. The card itself is shaping up nicely. We laughed a couple of months ago when we heard that they were going to put Cena against Wyatt, and that this is actually going to happen. I'm okay with this.
So am I. I mean, you know, you look at it, I love Bray Wyatt, I love Cena, and I hope Wyatt kills him. He has to, doesn't he?
The Wyatt family does not need any further legitimization, but I'll tell you what, you know, you want to talk about a hell of a rub? You're going to have the ultimate feel-good moment with Brian. So we can have, I would have no problem with Cena losing. Then again, most of us wouldn't have a problem with Cena losing anyway.
But would they have him lose to Wyatt at WrestleMania?
How about this?
I mean, it's not like Bray Wyatt's The Rock.
No, but I'll give you a scenario that probably will happen. How about Cena wins the match, but the Wyatts win the segment?
You mean like they destroy him?
Yeah, because Bray Wyatt's twisted sense of honor would keep Rowan and Harper out of the ring so that they would actually complete the match.
And
Cena wins on the AA. Rowan and Harper jump in the ring and start beating the crap out of Cena. Wyatt is so incensed that he joins in.
I'm okay with this. But also, have you guys noticed something? I don't know if you've noticed. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. This is the first WrestleMania that John Cena has not somehow main evented since WrestleMania 20. Since WrestleMania 20.
Yeah. Yep.
The WrestleMania in 9 years that where John Cena is not involved in the main event in any fashion.
Well. That bodes even better. Oh yeah, and some orange goblin showed up and wants to do a WrestleMania 3 tribute, sort of.
Yeah.
Actually, this is a great way to optimize what we've jokingly called the Everybody Gets a Paycheck WrestleMania Battle Royal.
Yep.
They are turning it into the Andre the Giant Memorial 30-Man Over the Top Battle Royal.
That Cena wants to go into for some reason.
He wanted to, but then the Wyatts got involved. So I don't think he'll be in that. We do have a couple of monsters already in there. Big E's committed for it. Ryback's committed for it. Del Rio's in it. I'm thinking that Sheamus is going to get in it because he doesn't really have a match right now.
They could always go with Christian, but also I say that the winner of that match gets slammed by Hogan for a cheap pop.
No, Hogan is not medically cleared.
Hogan is not allowed to do anything at Mania but talk. And even that might be dangerous.
Because we have to hear Hulk Hogan talk?
One thing that Hogan's better at... How do I put this? Once Hogan gets on a roll, sometimes it's really hard to stop him.
Yes.
Admit.
So,
I just say this without any hesitation. On a serious note, Hulk Hogan's probably the greatest crowd worker in history.
And well,
that's an
easy statement. As our illustrious GM has shown up, let's see what he's got. First thing I see is the word doofus in a YouTube link. Oh, good lord. For all of you indie wrestling fans, KFC recruited Colt Cabana and Cliff Compton, a.k.a. Domino from Deuce and Domino, to have an arm wrestling match over fried chicken. Must watch.
Supposedly, it gotten so bad they want to do a second one. They want a rematch.
Good. I don't care if KFC is a backer of it or not. I want to see him go at it again.
And of course, Deuce did the job. But hey,
coming to you live from the most famous chicken chain in the world,
pin me, pay me. Let's see. Love is in the air. Or maybe... What's that?
Loser has to eat a double down.
Oh, gross. Ew. Ew. Oh, nasty. Go ahead.
Let's see. Love is in the air, or maybe it's something else. Stacy Keibler got married, and maybe because she's got an elf on the way. And And write down on your calendars, folks, April 11th, 2014, where Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella get to say yes, 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 yes to each other after they get married.
Oh, yipes! don't they do that now? Well,
I'm sure they're doing it. I'm sure they're doing it already. But I'm just saying, after the ceremonies, at least it'll be official. Not that anybody needs a ceremony anymore for that. Anyway, yeah. So I think we better. I'm gonna take a time out here because that was bad even for me. I'll have some commercials queued up. The restrooms are unlocked. The vending machines are plugged in. Gene, do not tip the snack machine again.
I didn't even do it the first time.
Bullshit. I heard you screaming at it.
It took my dollar.
Body slamming the snack machine is not going to get you a free Snickers.
For your information, I took a baseball bat to it.
That does get you free stuff.
Yeah, but the thing is that she has to talk to the rental company. It's terrible. But Nikki, you need
rest. Yeah, talk to the rental company about taking my fucking money and not giving me a damn Snickers.
I'll give you your damn dollar back after you give me the $500 for fixing the freaking machine. Go to commercial.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
You love your pets, so you keep them healthy by buying expensive supplements. Unfortunately, your pets don't like to take the supplements. You've tried hiding pills in food and forced it down, only for them to spit it back out. There has to be a better way. Pause 5. Two quick, delicious peppermint sprays in your pet's mouth for a full day. Protecting them 5 ways. Coat and skin, teeth and nails, joints, eyes, and immune system. No more forcing pills down your pet's mouth. You would spend over $200 buying these supplements individually. Or Pause 5 for under $35 includes all 5 supplements in one. Order online and receive free shipping anywhere in the U.S. www.pause5.com.
Stop pain is really a godsend because I apply it and within minutes I get fast pain relief. Arthritis is set into my hands. I've broken every finger on this hand playing football. And there were times I felt so bad in the morning, I couldn't play golf. But since I've started using Stop Pain, I can play golf every day. I can go for long walks. I enjoy active times with my grandkids. I can attribute that to Stop Pain. It really has made a remarkable difference in my life.
Hey, future body changers, it's me, John Cena. Think of your favorite food right now. What is it? Pastry, ice cream, cookies, beer, pizza, whatever it is. What would you say if I told you you could lose weight and eat your favorite foods? Well, you can. With the 10 weeks body change program for one day a week, you can eat as much of your favorite foods as you want. You heard it from me. And the rest of the 6 days of the week, you have a huge selection of foods to choose from that'll help you lose weight. Here's the kick. You can eat as much of those foods as you want to. No craving, no starving, just losing. It is officially change time.
I think someone at my friend's school has this thing called autism. My friend's brother's son has autism. My neighbor's son has autism. My son has autism.
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net. We'll get you back to your regular hostess with the mostest in a moment, but first, it is I, the voice of the NAWC, Jim Williams, with a final update on what is affectionately known as the Great Wrestling Revolution. Okay, it's not affectionately known as that. It's generally punned, panned, and laughed at, mocked at, quite frankly, as well. Nathan Favell, I'm going to mention him by name, several months ago, had a dream. That dream was to buy Impact Wrestling, TNA. That dream also included getting the NWA brand purchasing name from R. Bruce Thorpe, owner of International Wrestling Corp. LLC. He wanted to divide and conquer. He wanted everything focusing on the NWA World Championship belt. He wanted 12 pay-per-views a month at the price of just $5 each to give back to you, the little people. But no. No, it's not going to happen because, according to our final update, the goal of $5 million just missed it by $4,999,998. He raised a grand total of 2 simoleons. Yeah. So, any of you who donated a buck, we'll call them his left and right hand, and we know what the left one's really good at, apparently, according to our sources. Up yours, you just lost a buck. You can't get that back. And that concludes our updates on the Great Wrestling. Oh, I can't even say it with a straight face. Let's go back to Nikki Haman and the crew. Nikki?
Thank you, Jim. I'm here with Bad News Beeman, Gene fucking Aguilera, and Jason Block. Now, where
yeah, baby.
Where were we?
I'm sorry, I would have done a Bad News Beeman segment for that, but that guy's already got some bad news enough. I mean, he's just lost a buck. Jesus Christ. Like, good God.
Now, the only bad news is the actual two individuals who donated were his mother and his father.
Ah, screw it! You know what? I'm gonna do it. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have some decorum, please?
Uh-oh.
I have some good news and I have some bad news. The good news is, this poor boy's dream has finally come to an end. The bad news is, he tried to get some money off the AMC network, but they said, no sir, we've actually got higher qualities in WWE, and our dream is actually a bit more realistic. But then again, that's also bullshit as well. Thank you, and good night.
To elaborate, there was word started going around that AMC was actually interested in purchasing WWE programming. I found that especially amusing, but it was also intriguing enough, Jason, that the stock went crazy.
It didn't go crazy. It went batshit. I mean, we all know that the stock has been doing really, 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 really well over the last few weeks due to the fact that people have been going absolutely nuts over it. As of this afternoon, March 14th, it is at almost $31 a share, which I believe is higher than its IPO, if I remember correctly. But what happened was that this rumor shot it up to, what, 32? $32?
It went up on this simple rumor. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your internet at work. But alas, we did some digging around, and it just came down to this. Somebody said, "Hey, AMC, were you actually interested?" And they turned around and said,
"Bullshit."
So, that's done.
Right. I mean, because I believe, first of all, what's going to be very interesting, the first couple things is the day after WrestleMania, they are going to actually announce subscriber numbers to the network, which is going to be a big number for them.
And that is going to be a huge deal up and down the entertainment spectrum, because if the network is pulling better than 5 million subscribers, Bonnie Hammer's going to take a right cross to the wallet if she wants to keep WWE programming on her TV.
I don't think it's 5 million. I think a better number would be 500,000 right now. They're expecting 1 million in the first year, remember?
Right.
So I don't think 5 million. I mean, if it was 5 million, put it to you this way, that would be a literal game changer, okay? That would be a holy shit moment. However, I would say the number is going to be about 500,000. I think that me seems more accurate to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, in general.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Gene, your thoughts? Or are you here?
Yeah, sorry. I was a little distracted.
Turn that shit off. Come on.
Turn what off?
I heard let the boobies hit the floor in the background. Turn that shit off.
Look, there's nothing wrong with me, okay?
No, you're a healthy young man, but we're talking about something over here.
Right, the stocks.
No, I'm just talking to networks.
And we're talking network subscription numbers. You know, but how many people do you think actually signed up?
In the first week or just in general?
Up to this point.
To this point.
In these first 3 weeks, how many do you think actually signed up?
At least 3 to 5 million.
Jason's taking the under. Shane?
I would, I'll say about 2.5 million, maybe. I know there are a lot of Australians that are really looking forward to it.
That's probably a question I need to, before I can give a number, I need an answer to. What is WWE Network's international reach? How many other countries actually have access to the network? I guess is the question.
I don't think there are many. Let me check a look as keep talking. But
okay, if it's just the Americas, where it's the U.S. and Canada and Mexico and Puerto Rico, watch this segue. It's going to be a very respectable number. I think they already have their 1 million. Subscribers. This is a big enough deal that even the most casual a fan has at least looked at the trial. But I've also heard that some people that signed up for the trial got charged anyway. So these numbers are going to be a little iffy. It's going to be interesting to see though. Now, my segue was that I mentioned Puerto Rico. I had to mention Puerto Rico because the Hall of Fame has decided to reach in that general direction. Longtime fans will recall Carlos Colon, who had a cup of coffee or two with the Fed, but is better known for the World Wrestling Council and his boys having all sorts of tag team and B-belt success. Carlito and Primo, of course, as at one time unified tag team champions, I saw the match live. And
Carlito, a former U.S. and Intercontinental Champion.
Correct. So, I don't know if I misheard this, but was Carlito actually invited to help the induction, or is it just going to be Primo and Epico?
I think it's all three, from what I heard. I believe it's all three.
Okay. I mean, it'll be good to see Carlito. I actually would like him to come back. I just don't know if they've got room.
That'd be an interesting combo, don't you think? Fear the bull, otherwise I'll spit in your face, because that's not cool.
No, I think what happens is that they're not going to go all A. It's going to be, you know, all suits and ties and all that, and that's a good deal. You know, Colon is a legend in Puerto Rico, a legend down there. He deserves this induction. Yeah?
So, yeah, I've heard a lot about WWC. I know a few guys, you know, from the Cincinnati area who went down and worked for Colon. That is essentially, you know, WWE for Puerto Rico. And they managed to get a few names down there, you know, from the States, and they build their own stars, and we get a handful of them back. So, you know, good. This is very good news, and this is a very deserving induction. Now, as I dig through my news here, let's see. We're all internet fans here. Who all here watched Z Long Island Story as it was going?
I did.
Shane? Gene?
I will say I unfortunately missed it.
I don't care enough.
Okay. Zach's at it again, and I'm not sure if WWE backed.
No, this is on his own. Oh, this is definitely on his own.
A preview video has come out of him speaking of what is now being called Zack Ryder's last resort with a Z. Zack essentially is going to try to recapture, in a way, though he denied it. Recapture that little bit, the 15 megabytes of fame he got with his original webcast. This one's going to be a little more serious, Jason. You were the one who showed me the video, I believe.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, this is the not the happy-go-lucky Zach. And do I believe it is his last resort? Maybe. I mean, look, this was a guy who, if you remember, what was it, TLC, what was it, 11?
TLC 2011, the night we lost the internet.
Yes, when Punk won the belt, Ryder won
the U.S. title, Daniel Bryan won the World Heavyweight Championship, Air Boom were the tag champions.
And Punk retained.
Natty was the deep, yeah.
Natty was the world champion, and there's this picture which I still have somewhere.
Oh, sorry, Beth Phoenix, not Natty.
Yeah, Beth Phoenix. Yes, right. Yeah, Air Boom. Yeah, this was the new generation of champions, and then they all walked out, and now pretty much in 2014, as he said, who, you know, of Zack Ryder. Can Lightning strike twice? I hope so, because he's really good and well-connected with fans. It's just that he suffered from the you didn't get made by us, so you get squashed. We'll see what happens, though.
You know, we're going to keep an eye on that.
Yep.
The other thing we need to keep an eye on is this isn't hard. I like keeping an eye on the Shield. What was originally being teased as a breakup, judging from events on SmackDown, Shane, this might turn into a Shield face turn.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but looks like we got a Shield face turn, sort of, on SmackDown. I don't mind, but then it sort of has you asking the question of what they're going to do with the Shield at WrestleMania.
I just, I think what they could do, which is kind of meta, is tease a little bit of it with Bryan running into Rollins backstage. And some diehards would get this. Since we already have the issue that the Shield doesn't listen to Kane, Rollins would understand the injustices that are going on right now regarding Bryan. And come on, I think the public is ready to see Roman Reigns spear the ever-loving fuck out of Triple H.
Yes. Yes.
And this is from somebody who likes Hunter. I would pay WrestleMania money to see this happen. So,
I mean, because it's very interesting, because if you remember when the because they saw the Royal Rumble when the Shield and Wyatt came out, okay? And the "This is awesome" chant came out, was there before the match fucking started. Okay.
That was a chamber, man. I was there.
Chamber. I'm sorry. My apologies.
And the rematch got the same treatment. So the Shield is probably going to be a big deal at this Mania somehow. And I think what could happen is a face turn where they buck the authority.
Yeah, like for example, if I may pull a wild card esque scenario, may I, Miss Heyman? Okay. Let's say, for argument's sake, during the main event, that of course Daniel Bryan. Oh no, I'm sorry. I'll even make it better. Kane calls out the Shield in the Triple H Bryan match, not in the main event, okay?
Mm-hmm.
To secure Triple H's victory. The Shield basically tells them where the fuck to go, and they say goodbye, and it's a face turn. There's your face turn right there. And they spear the holy hell out of Triple H there, leaving him out in the lurch.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Does that make sense?
If they don't get the Hunter, they'll probably spend some time beating the hell out of Kane. Since Kane has one, it looks like Kane's got one foot out the door.
Really?
Kane is looking into his retirement options. And one of them is opening an insurance company in Tennessee. Auto, home, life, commercial, and a couple of other things, but he covers everything but fire. Thank you.
Oh, you did not do that.
I'm sorry. It was there, and it had to be done. But This is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. He has started up an insurance agency.
With, I believe, his wife.
Katie Vick. Oh, wait. No, sorry. No. I'm immediately sorry.
Uh-huh.
I'm immediately sorry for that. But no, he and his wife have opened an insurance agency in Tennessee. They already have a page set up. And, this is something that, he's had to start looking at anyway, because he's been at this for 20-plus years. He's been doing the Kane persona for 15 years. Excuse me, 17 years, now that I think about it.
97 at Bad Blood. This right. will be the 17th anniversary, yeah.
And he ain't getting any younger.
Kane's in his mid-40s, isn't he?
Yeah. So
he's 46. He's 46.
Yeah, I think he's got to start thinking about that. So he's going to... It looks like he's found some place to land. If he doesn't want to stay on with the Fed as a road agent, he can do something that will still at least guarantee, you know, bring in a steady stream of money outside of his royalties that he will be, that I believe he gains in perpetuity with the Fed. So, segue. One of these fine royalties is going to come from the recently released Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery.
Well, or the soon to be released, actually.
Well, I procured a copy of it.
Aha! Okay, let's just say you procured a review copy.
Yes, I procured a copy to review. And if you are a wrestling fan, you are going to enjoy a lot of the ridiculousness that goes with wrestling and the fact that in a cartoon you can do even more ridiculous stuff in it. Some of the same wrestling in-jokes are in there. Tables get broken, but announcers survive. John Cena is Superman. All arguments are rendered invalid.
Great. He can't even job in a cartoon.
No. He does not job in this cartoon. In fact, he even saves the gang's lives. Essentially, it's like any other Scooby-Doo mystery, but the way they get roped in is we find out that Shaggy and Scooby are wrestling fans. Not surprising. They win through a video game, passes to WWE City, somewhere Vince McMahon tried to pull a Walt Disney. In the course of the trip there, we get to see a little incident involving Kane, who probably wasn't planning on this corporate business when they shot this, because he was still in his Team Hell No gear, and The Miz, who got to be the butt monkey of this cartoon, get attacked by a giant bear. When the word gets to the gang, once they get to WWE City, of course they have a mystery on their hands and they've got to find out what's going on. This also includes guests, you know, other guest wrestlers playing themselves. No substitutions. Triple H, because, well, yeah, he had to be there. Vince McMahon, because he's a cartoon character. Period. Santino Marella, same reason. Brodus Clay, who was a thing when this was being put together. AJ, who had to be reasonably sane for this. And Sin Cara, before he got his arm tattoo. Because this Sin Cara is what they were expecting and not what we got. Sin Cara is presented in this cartoon as a main eventer. And is pretty much real close buddies with John Cena. Mainly because Cena acts as his interpreter. A GIF has already circulated. John Cena speaks luchador.
Okay.
It's got a whole bunch of nods to things that happen in WWE. It also has a handful of good Scooby-Doo jokes, including jokes about their wardrobe, jokes about Shaggy and Scooby and the Munchies, and the fact that not a single person in the entire show seems fazed by a talking dog. Then again, said talking dog doesn't think he's a dog.
Right, and also remember, in wrestling, anything can happen, so...
Exactly. This includes a skinny kid named Norville and his dog actually get in a ring and survive a match against Kane in a cage.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to tell you, because the event at the end is booked worse than TNA, but it's still fun, and it's funny.
Okay.
I do recommend this. If you are a cartoon nut, get this. Seriously. It is worth your money. It is worth the laugh. And it's even worth it for the stuff that you know is going to happen. My only beef was that there was one corporate chick in there that should have been Stephanie. And you'll see what I mean when you see this video.
Yeah, and by the way, on DVD is $14.99, Blu-ray is $18.14 at Amazon. And
I'm not sure what the extras are going to be, but if there's a blooper reel, buy it. Wrestler bloopers are awesome when you can find them. So, what else have I got? Oh, yes. Mick Foley. Can somebody tell me why Mick Foley's putting all this money out? The cheapest guy in wrestling, the man with the Lincoln thumbs?
Because this is actually his cause, and it's an awesome one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He got to know the singer Tori Amos, okay? You know who Tori Amos is, right?
Yes.
It has been described in many of his books that he actually loves the music, and he met them. Through Tori Amos, he got to know the charity, which I believe she's involved with, called RAIN, which is, I believe, the Rape and Abuse Incest Network or something to that effect, which basically helps victims of that find solace and help in getting through an awful incident. And he has donated a ton of money to this cause. And he did a WrestleMania raffle, which raised a bunch of money. And boy, is he doing it again, and even in a bigger way.
The prize for this raffle is insane.
$10 for 5 tickets at minimum.
Right. And it's going to take us 5 minutes just to read through everything you get if you win. But to make it easy, I can sum it up for you. You get the red carpet treatment for WrestleMania and a few days at Disney World. And pretty much all expenses paid.
And you get money for taxes and spending money, too.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I'm looking at here, this looks like a $15,000, $20,000 package from what I'm seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
About right, because it's like it's a VIP, it's basically it's Foley's family seats, pretty much ringside at
yes.
WrestleMania. You get ringside tickets to the Jim Ross show, ringside tickets to Ring of Honor, ringside tickets to Dragon, super access to Dragon Con, access of your choice. I'm doing this by memory.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch with the Bellas. Lunch with Brie Bella. I believe it is the tickets to the next night's Raw. And then, and of course, limo to and from the airport, hotel 1 mile from the Superdome. And then you go to Disney for 4 days,
toured, and one of the days you get the Hopper Pass, and I believe you get a tour from Scotty Tuhati.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. This is great stuff.
And I'm looking at it right now. The minimum buy is 5 tickets at $2 each, or $10. You can buy 10 tickets at $1.50 each, or $15. 25 tickets at $1 each, or 100 or more tickets at 75 cents apiece.
That's a bargain.
So for $10, you have an opportunity of a dream vacation. And frankly, I'm probably going to spend more than $10.
You're actually going to give it a shot?
Oh, sure, why not?
Hell yeah. Why wouldn't you? I mean, myself as an Australian, I will put 50 towards this bloody thing if it gets me a good chance. Like, damn. What a kid. But then again, everyone's got some good news and some bad news. Good news is, if Jason Blocks wins, he goes to WrestleMania. Bad news is he won't make it because he'll be in jail due to the fact that before WrestleMania you get a dinner with the Divas, and if Lillian Garcia is there, I suggest run.
Hey, look, if I get to New Orleans, I would love to eat to the... Good God, that would be insane. That would be nuts. I mean, but $10, why not? And, Nikki, what's the website for it?
Please note that the $10 for those raffles is the same price as you would pay if you watched it on the WWE Network.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
for what you'll go to is www.reign2014.
So there you go, WWE. There's your plug for the day. Now give me my money.
That never works.
And it's WrestleMania-Dream-Vacation.raffle. Just Google basically WrestleMania raffle and it'll get you there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome, and you'll find a way to do that sort of stuff. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple.
Yeah. So, you know, it's for a good cause. And if you get to go to WrestleMania and Disney World, how can you complain? So, Jason, if you won this, would it be you and your father?
Ooh, that would be tough, because I have my buddy Joe, who you know, who would kill for this. Mm-hmm. I've got a bunch of people who I would fight for to go do this. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, it would be nuts, because I'd love to go to Disney too. That'd be kick ass. That'd be great. Because I got nothing better to do right now. So I'd spend 10 days just chilling in New Orleans and Orlando. That would be nuts. That'd be fun. And I have friends in St. Petersburg who would drive to see me. So that would be fun.
And Gene, if you won, who would you bring with you?
That depends on... That really all depends on how much I can get out of this ticket. Because I'm a greedy bastard.
I would have to check into one thing with the rules. Because the other person that would attend with me does not live in the same area that I do.
Oh, I see. So would it be the same flight? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Is there a way I can split the flight? Because I would be flying in from Minneapolis, but he would be flying in from Columbus.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Shane, are you crazy enough to enter this contest?
Just to borrow a line from Steve Austin. Oh, hell yeah.
There you go. Sorry.
Like, seriously, for an Australian to go to WrestleMania and get front row seats? Are you kidding me? You pay the fucking money.
So, yeah, to this we all say, shut up and take our money. But please let one of us win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, if I win, I can make those arrangements pretty darn quick. But, Mr. Foley, whoever wins, treat them well. I know you will. So before I call it a night, Jason, I know you always have something to promote.
Of course I do. First of all, of course, all the wonderful shows here on CLW 83. We just did, unfortunately, since the last time we spoke, I think we did a tribute to the late, great Jeff Edwards, which should be up on the site now, or if not, it will be very soon. Myself, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper spent about an hour talking about Jeff Edwards and his life and times for WLTI Live Extra. Pixel Nation with Brian Henniger and myself. I am actually going to go and actually sit through the Need for Speed movie tomorrow because I need to do that for review purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I want to segue into our sound guy. Jim, would you open your microphone for a second, please?
I was busy playing the free Crazy Taxi app. Thanks a lot, Corey Anitato. Anyway, yes.
Okay. aren't we recording something next week?
Oh, yes. It's almost that time, that special time, that magical time of year. The first pitch for every team in Major League Baseball. We're going to do our season preview edition of Touch 'Em All. A lot going on. And I'm going to rail hard against the Phillies, which is, you know, raging against the machine for me because, quite frankly, I'm sick of the way my team's looking. But a lot of storylines to talk about, including a certain genetic freak, the Scott Steiner of baseball, rearing his ugly head into San Francisco Giants training camp. Barry Bonds, I hate your ass. That and more on Touch 'Em All. We'll record that midweek next week and have it up by next weekend, in time for the opening series in Australia between the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. Shane, are you going to that by chance?
The Diamondbacks and the Dodgers? No, I'm not.
Well, never mind then.
I apologize.
That's okay. Here I am, token American bloke. Well, they're playing baseball in Australia. Shane's got to be going. But
very cool. But yes. Oh my God. Yeah. But it's
awkward silence is the best kind of silence, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I know. Because it's just.
Well, hang on. No, I've got nothing against baseball. Don't get me wrong. I know the Dodgers are a good team. I'm more of a football man myself, though. So
American football, you mean, or Australian rules?
No. I'm talking about English football. So
soccer. Yes. Well, Nikki is like, what happened to my show?
Yeah, I know.
No. This is the promotion part of the show.
Well,
so
we're taking
I'm
it too far.
Probably.
Red State, Blue State has been cooking on all cylinders. Jason Lyon.
We're going to be talking a bunch of stuff this week. We're going to be talking about, the plane that we still haven't found yet, it gets weirder and weirder every day.
Or curiouser, yes.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about how the Republican Senate leader put a foot in it. And we might be having the Obamacare sweepstakes, sort of.
Yes. Oh, you know, and another network reporter has called it a career at a major network.
Yes, and this one is going to get real interesting too,
mm-hmm.
Because she was the only one actually doing some reporting. Who knew? We're actually going to update you on a story we did last week about a 18-year-old girl out of New Jersey who sued her parents and is still suing her parents.
But moved back in.
We're going to talk more about that on Red State, Blue State. Okay. So
that'll be in the Life is Wonderful segment of the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Pixel Nation, you've got with Mr. Henniger down the road as well.
We did talk about that. So let's move over, Nikki, to the other man from Brooklyn, shall we?
I will mute now. Thank you.
Gene, you got something to promote about World of Unpredictable Wrestling.
As a matter of fact, I do. But before I do, I would just like to say that I am not, in fact, representative of anything of World of Unpredictable Wrestling. We are a family show.
Okay, yes, you are. Yes.
Yes. Despite what Super Crazy said earlier in the show. Anyway, on March 29th at Gleason's Gym in Brooklyn, New York, we will be having the show so nice we named it twice New Era Connection 2, where we will have Money Mike Firezone and Payaso Coco in a tag team match with Spanish Giovanni and Buffalo Azteca. Also appearing will be our WUW Light Heavyweight Champion Matt Stryker and our new, yes, new WUW World Heavyweight Champion Super Crazy. Tickets are $20 for adults, $10 for children. Come get yours today.
Shane, you typically don't have anything to promote, but I'm guessing you might have some good news and bad news.
Yes, I do. Ladies and gentlemen, I have some good news and I have some bad news. The good news is AJ and Natalya broke a Divas match world record on main event and made the longest Divas match in recent history. The bad news is that WWE are still pissed with AJ Lee because, unlike them, she can actually get her business handled with CM Punk. Thank you and good night.
Actually, Mr. Beeman, I have some bad news for you, too.
Damn you.
Well, good news and bad news. The good news is this is the most entertaining you've been in recent months. The bad news is that Wade Barrett is suing you for copyright infringement. Thank you!
No, sir, the bad news is that Wade Barrett does this gimmick rather shit, whereas I do it rather good. Thank you!
God, dueling bad newsers, you know?
The good news is I can put a stop to this at any time. The bad news is I think I better do it now.
Yeah.
There's no stopping it. It's already happening.
Oh, I know it's happening. But,
Well, hey, it could have been much worse, okay? I could have said, believe in the Australian! But no, I'm not going to do it. Because otherwise I get shielded and get speared by Roman Reigns, and no one wants that.
No. Trista. The Shield already did gimmick infringement by putting on the sheep masks at the show on Tuesday.
Oh, damn.
Yes, look up this brilliant picture of Roman Reigns in the rocking chair, Seth Rollins wearing the sheep mask. I think there's another picture from earlier in that same match where Bray's in the rocking chair, and Ambrose has a folding chair, and he's sitting in it, and they just look like they're shooting the shit about politics and sports. And the crowd's probably going batshit over it.
Oh, I know. It's one of those things that's, you know, like I said, Shield face turn. Who knew?
The only one I'm worried about in that case is Ambrose, because I have the hardest time imagining him being a good guy. He's a good guy, but that doesn't mean he's a good guy.
Well, I think with Ambrose, with this face turn, I think he needs to be in, like, the mode of his idol, Jake the Snake Roberts, and just be a little bit crazy as far as his face turn is concerned.
Ambrose doesn't do little bit crazy.
Well, that's fine. We like mega crazy. I mean, look at Mick Foley. We took him.
That's true. So, with that, I have nothing else to promote because I am right here. So for Bad News Beeman, for Gene fucking Aguilera, for Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do come back and listen to us again. And oh yes, enjoy every event.
Stay pony, my friends.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.